And so it opened my mind and my heart to this reality that even if I don't have all this cool stuff, I can actually be more excellent than the church that has every single bell and whistle and all the best musicians and all the money and all the toys.
Yeah.
So like excellence was not a comparison to another church, but it's a comparison to my capacity,
yeah,
to my potential, because I'm giving it my all.
And that's so good, because I think we can all probably think of a scenario where we've walked into, you know, maybe another environment that's not what you just described, maybe more, you know, church in the gym, you know, setting up teardown, and there's a guy leading and he's giving it that level of, I'm giving it everything I got. Like we see that and we can notice that and be like, man, there's something different here.
Welcome to the Worship Catalyst podcast, hosted by worship leader, church starter, and author Austin Ryan. This series of episodes focuses on what we can learn about worship leading from sports. We hope this episode trains and inspires you to be a skilled and godly leader.
Hey, welcome back to the Worship Catalyst podcast, where we help you become a more skilled and godly leader in ministry and life. I'm Austin Ryan, Stephen Hanley over here with us again. We've been taking a deep dive on what we can learn about worship leading and leadership in general from sports. In our last episode, we talked about 5 proven strategies to build trust on our team, because whatever team we lead, people need to trust one another. This is a really important conversation, and this episode will be unpacking some key tips for cultivating excellence on your team. So let's talk about sports for a minute. Pick any sport you like. I mean, football or soccer or basketball or baseball or badminton or, I don't know, pickleball, if you like that, or any other sport. When someone stops trying hard, when they stop giving it their all, they either get cut from the team or they get beat, or both. Not like beat up, but the team gets beat. In team sports, if you're not giving it your all, you get benched, and it takes a lot to prove yourself again. Now, all the way back to middle school, I remember this in sports. Like, if there was a kid and he wasn't trying hard, he didn't run hard, he didn't show up on time, he didn't lift weights, like, he just didn't get to play. Sometimes the smaller, less talented people got all the playing time because they were all in all the time. This is essential in sports, and it's essential on a worship team. So, Stephen, you've been a part of sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, have you seen that in your experience where the ones who gave it their all were the ones who really ended up succeeding more, even if they're not as good?
100%.
Yeah. Like you, for instance.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't as good, but man, I worked the hardest. You better believe I, you know, the bulldog action. No, yeah, I mean, I think that was just a common thing that in high school, man, there were so many kids with talent.
Right.
In college, you see it too, where they have all the natural talent in the world, but it's the guys who work the hardest that make it to that next level.
You were telling me about Kobe.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant, one of the hardest workers in everything he ever did.
Yeah.
You know, from family to sports to business. So you were telling me about the Olympics, though.
Mm-hmm.
What was that story?
Yeah, I think there's this Netflix documentary. We'll probably reference it a bunch in this podcast because it's so good. But talking about the USA basketball team, a lot of guys from the NBA, obviously on that team. I think they're all in the NBA, not just a lot of, they're all from the NBA.
Every single one.
On the USA team, yeah.
Right.
So they, like, they're not in their season, but they're just kind of doing exhibition games, getting ready for the Olympics.
Yeah.
And all the guys are out just partying the night before.
Yeah.
And 4 a.m. comes, they're rolling back in the hotel. They've been out partying, just having the best time. And Kobe wasn't with them. They come into the hotel lobby, 4 a.m. Kobe's walking into the gym. He's like in his gym clothes going to work out at 4 a.m. And all the guys are like, this guy's cut different, you know?
Yeah.
And then by the end of the week, all the rest of the team was in the gym at 4 a.m.
I love that. It's like the leader was showing the way to go.
That's right.
And they were following. That's
yeah,
cool.
Man. Yeah.
So we're going to unpack excellence here, okay? And we're going to get some tips and all that here in a minute. But it seems like to me, excellence gets a really bad rap. You know,
definitely.
It's like the word excellence just makes people freak out sometimes. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's like you search any worship leading podcast and that term's going to come out.
Yeah.
You're on any church meeting, like if you're just a fly on the wall, somehow excellence, that word is just going to be thrown around.
Yeah.
And it's been used in such a way now where I think it's a comparison thing where excellence is this thing. Like
yeah.
All right, let's look at, man, just look at how they do stuff with excellence. And then they show, you know, some sweet light show or,
yeah.
you know, some guy he's just really charismatic and that's like excellence. And so it now becomes like comparing us with something else.
Some other church or
yeah,
some other stage
yeah. So
presence.
It's like, now it's like, well, excellence seems impossible for us.
Yeah.
And I think that's why now people are like kind of, you know, cringe a little
bit. I totally had that experience. I was at a conference and I mean, it was like this huge church with all the lights and the band like was better than any rock band I'd ever seen, you know, just incredible. And they had actors and they had, you know,
yeah.
I don't know how many lights and I don't know how many speakers, but it was like going to the best rock or country or whatever concert you can imagine. And they talked about excellence at this conference incessantly. I mean, they probably said the word excellence like every 12th word, you know?
Yeah.
So I got home and I was super dejected about that because, I mean, there's no way. My church was like tiny and everybody was terrible, you know? Like so nobody like,
well,
was
that's
good.
Excellence. That ain't, that's
yeah.
an investment.
Yeah, we're there. Never going to get there because yeah. everybody's terrible at what they do and our church is small. And we have no technology. Like we had the speakers in the ceiling, those round ones like Kmart. You know what I mean?
Yeah, somebody one day was like, I can install those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Speakers, done.
Got it. Check it off the list.
Right. So, but what I did was, as praying through that, I got to Colossians 3:23 and 24, yeah. and where, you know, Paul is writing to slaves, and he's like, the master you're serving is Christ. Mm. You know, and do everything to him, for him, as unto him. And so, man, that really changed the perspective for me, because it wasn't about what I had. It was about doing the best I can with what I have. Right. It's not about what you have. It's about what you do with what you have.
Yes.
And so it opened my mind and my heart to this reality that even if I don't have all this cool stuff, I can actually be more excellent than the church that has every single bell and whistle and all the best musicians and all the money and all the toys.
Yeah.
So like excellence was not a comparison to another church, but it's a comparison to my capacity,
yeah.
to my potential, because I'm giving it my all.
And that's so good because I think we can all probably think of a scenario where we've walked into, you know, maybe another environment that's not what you just described, maybe more, you know, church in the gym, you know, setting up teardown, and there's a guy leading and he's giving it that level of, I'm giving it everything I got. Like we see that and we can notice that and be like, man, there's something different here versus like sometimes when you go to those bigger churches with all the lights, all the sound, all yeah. the money that they could ask for. And it's like, what is this?
Yeah.
You know, not all of them. I'm not trying to throw shade, but
every single large church,
literally if you're a large church, yeah, yeah, you are terrible.
If you're listening right now and you're in a big church, we just want to say,
yeah,
you're the worst.
That's really what we want to say today. So thanks
yeah.
for listening.
Yeah, it's good. Thanks for joining. That's not at all what we're saying.
No, not at all. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, and I think what we're trying to get at is like, man, using what you have, you know, to the highest level. And if you got all the bells and whistles, that level is just that much higher because, yeah. you know, it's easier to skate by.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, okay. So if we're trying to change the narrative from excellence being like a certain quality level, mm-hmm. like those are not equal. Okay, excellence does not equal quality. Excellence equals effort. It equals doing the best you can with what you have. Then what does excellence look like? What is it? What are some pictures of excellence that we can hold on to that are better than a picture of some perfection,
yeah.
of some big church or some big team?
Yeah. Well, as we probably do a lot, I think it starts with the leader. So if you are a leader in any capacity, then you personally need to be asking that question. I think it's really easy to look at your team and be like, how are we not excellent? Mm-hmm. But first, it's got to start with, okay, what have I been given? What gifts do I have? And how am I doing to do the best I can with what I have? So am I working personally on growing in my ability to give it everything I have?
Yeah.
It's got to start there.
Do you have some people on your team who are doing the best they can with what they have and the team that you lead?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think.
And how do you know that? Like, what are some of the signs?
Yeah. I think it's similar to what we talked about a minute ago with like the sports, you know, the athlete that may not have the biggest gifts.
Yeah.
But man, they come in and they've done their work.
Yeah.
And you notice that. And I think same thing with some individuals on my team. And I think we've probably experienced where this person doesn't have the classical training.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the time. He doesn't have all the greatest gear.
Yeah.
But man, he comes in and he's like prayed and worked through these songs.
Yeah.
And you like see it. And he may miss some notes. He may not meet that level of musicianship that some would say is excellent.
Yeah.
But man, you know he has given it his all and you feel yeah. that. And that
right.
bleeds over into your team.
You know, I've seen that too with people through the years who have actually gone on their own to go get lessons.
Yeah.
Whether it be voice lessons, guitar lessons, drum lessons, whatever it is. And they're just like, no, if God's given me a little bit of something, I'm going to like maximize it to the best of my possible ability. So that's another picture, I think, of excellence that I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good, man.
Yeah. So let's kind of dig into some tips, man. What are some keys? What are some things that we can do? Mm-hmm. And I just want to foster excellence. And what I mean is not fostering a certain quality, but fostering people working hard, doing the best they can with what they have.
Right.
And so the first one I want to kind of talk about, man, and this is maybe a little bit of a pet thing for me, but it seems like at churches, a lot of times what happens is you get somebody on your team or you get a few people who are really working hard, right? Mm-hmm. They're just killing it. and they're showing up early and they're, you know, like practicing, and they show up and people in the church start to notice. And so what happens? Some other team on the church wants to take that person to be a part of their team.
That's right.
So
they see it. They're like, hey, we need them on our board of directors. We need them on the pastor search committee.
And so what I, like a long time ago, I started trying to be a block between band members and other teams. And so I even started to say, look, I'm here to protect band members from becoming board members.
Yeah.
I don't want band members to become board members. Yeah. I don't want band members to be children's directors. I don't want band members to be youth directors.
Yeah.
I want members to be band members, because I want them to stay in the lane that God's called them and dial into that. Because one of the limitations of excellence is time and energy and what we can give. And so if somebody's like, yeah, I can't come to band practice, I'm going to be a little late to band practice because I'm in a search committee meeting for our new pastor or whatever it is. I've got a finance deal, and then I've got the elders or whatever it is. And I'm like, no, that's too many lanes. Mm-hmm. Like, let's keep band members focused on not becoming board members.
Yeah. And how like has your experience been with that, in the sense of, you know, because that could seem like, on the surface, almost like we're trying to silo.
Right.
But it's not. It's trying to protect your team and shepherd your team.
It's not. It's shepherding. And what I'm it's honoring for someone to come up to you and say, hey, man, will you be on this other team? You're so awesome. And so you want to be like, yeah, I'll serve God in that way.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that they're called. I look at three things. I look for people, because a lot of times people want to, like, they get overwhelmed. Maybe they get burned out. Maybe they want to, you know, take some time off, or even end up eventually leaving a church over but if people are called to something and they're equipped to do that thing, and they're needed to do that thing, all three, not just two of the three, you gotta have all three, then they'll do that thing forever. You can't burn them out.
That's right.
You know, you can't kill them. And so I think what happens, though, is that people are in this lane, they're in a lane, and this is not a principle for band. I'm not like trying to say that. I'm saying it like a children's work,
right?
Or you know, somebody that's an elder, okay? Like, if that's it, if that's your lane, and you're called to it, you're equipped for it, and you're needed there, and then somebody else starts to try to veer you out of your lane, you got to be really careful, because you're not good at 10 things.
Yeah,
you know, you're really like probably called to one thing, maybe a second thing that's secondary. You know, maybe not everybody agrees with that, but you see people in church all the time; they take on 5-6 different things. They're terrible at all of them.
Yeah, and I mean, now if probably more than ever, we're busier than
for sure
in any time in history, it feels like, or we think we are. But I think
that's true.
That becomes like a huge thing now in your churches, where you are shepherding busy people. You are walking with busy people, as you yourself are busy. So I think you have to fight for that and think through that more than you ever have. And so that sounds like, you know, we're talking kind of like maybe a stumbling block to excellence. That would be one if you have 30 people on your team and half of them are serving in three or four different ministries.
Yep.
So what are other stumbling blocks to excellence that you think kill it?
Oh gosh, other than time. I think like desire or heart, you know, that's a stumbling block to excellence, you know, because there's just other things that have my heart, you know, like you might see someone, you know, no names here, but you might see someone who is on your team and they're kind of giving it a cursory amount of their energy, but they're amazing at video games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That it just has their heart. Something else has their heart, and I think that's a stumbling block to excellence.
Yeah. Man, we could talk about that forever. And I think about how, and we'll probably get into this on future podcasts, even how to work on pushing people, you know, to navigate. Wait, where is your heart? I think another one that I think about with excellence, and the stumbling block to it, is just a lack of resources to get better.
Oh, sure.
Right. So we talked about excellence is doing the best you can with what you have. There are more resources, more things out there, even free resources that you could equip your team with to like raise that level for them. Because I think it's really easy to say, man, do the best you can with what you have, or do the best you can with what you have. But that's a little bit different than saying, hey, you're a pretty good bass player.
Yeah.
Man, if I gave you like these audio files to work with, or these chord charts that you can use that are really going to be helpful. I think that's like a thing that I've experienced with my team, is when I'm not giving resources, and not even just giving resources, but giving resources in a timely manner that they can actually use, and not, it's not just jumbled mess, but I've thought about it and how specific, or how I can use it specifically for each person. Man, that's going to just empower them to buy into that. So lack of resources is a huge
thing. I love that you're saying that because I think, you know, when we say do the best you can with what you have, part of the leader's responsibility is to raise the limits of what they have so that the quality will go up over time as people do the best they can with what they have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because, I mean, I've seen it. I've done it, but like I've looked on people's planning centers.
Other people. You're talking about other people.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not talking about
myself. I've got this friend.
I have this guy. He's a worship leader and he struggles with this. No, but like on planning center, when you open up a file and there's just this jumbled mess of like songs and like there's a weird harmony part here and then there's a chord chart and a other key that doesn't make sense to the version you're doing. It's or somebody like download. You remember like Ultimate Guitar, like that website where you could like
I do, and
none of the chords are ever right,
and you had to, and they're in the wrong spots.
Yes, terrible. So, like, that's what you see on your planning center. But it's like this is not like you clearly have the resources there, but you haven't even thought about how to give that to someone. So you have stuff, but you're not using it in the best way, organized that somebody that is busy, like we talked about, can understand and use it for their betterment and their excellence level raising up.
Okay, so we're leading teams and we're saying we're gonna help everybody get better at what they do, but we're gonna try to enhance excellence, get, you know, help people do the best they can with what they have. So one of them was keep people to stay in their lane. Okay, so make sure people are focused on one thing, maybe a secondary thing, but keep people in their lane. What's another thing that leaders can do to help people to do the best they can with what they have?
I think push into maybe different musical styles and songs a little bit.
Oh, stretch them.
Yeah, I think push them in those areas. Like I said, we have more resources and things than we've ever had ever. But I think give them maybe a challenging song here so that it doesn't come robotic. Okay, G, D, E minor, C, G, D, E minor, C over and over. But it's like, no, let's give them maybe like raise that level of musicianship. If you're wanting that, you got to give opportunity for them to do that. And so, and I think there's a lot of implications to that one that go well beyond like just excellence. But I mean, thinking about your church and how that affects your congregation and all of that. But I think that's a good one to how to overcome, you know, the struggle with excellence is, man, start trying to do more difficult songs.
I feel like there's a whole podcast on this that we could talk about because just the whole nature of worship songs traditionally is pretty simple.
Yeah.
It's like we went from complexity of hymns to the incredible simplicity. Like there's very few worship songs that have more than four chords, like you're saying. And a lot of repetition, a lot of simple, you know, simple music things. And then we add tracks onto it so that we don't really have to learn that part.
Right.
We can just turn that channel up.
Yeah,
and there's a lot more to talk about with that, but it doesn't. But it doesn't help with excellence building to make things simple because do the best I can with what I have. Like I played that song 400 times.
Right,
it's not that hard.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I think we could with the whole tracks and things. I use them. I'm for them, but I do think that you can lean so much in that direction that it long term, it will kill your team's
excellence. We'll put a pin in that conversation and come back to it.
Yeah.
Maybe the title will be Don't Use Tracks.
Clickbait. No tracks. See how many worship leaders we can get
okay,
on that.
Okay, so another way that we can enhance excellence and help people do the best they can with what they have is to build relationships with the spouses of your team members if they're married and with their children and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You and I have talked about this before. Why is that important?
Because I think it's a sacrifice for that family to serve on your team.
Right.
In any capacity, whether you have no rehearsals during the week and you just meet on Sunday mornings or you rehearse every night of the week.
Yeah.
It's going to be a sacrifice for that family. And part of that is the spouse taking extra roles so that you can go play bass on your team.
Right.
Or you can go play drums or you can go work on the sound booth. And so I think getting them on your team, not like trying to manipulate, but just saying, hey, thank you for allowing your husband or your wife to be on this team.
They feel like they're a part of it.
Yeah. And I mean, I think recently I've just found, you know, as if like somebody does something really awesome on the team or they audition for the team, they're really good. Man, I make sure the next time I run into their spouse, if they have one, to say, hey, your husband like has a great voice and he crushed it the other night. We had a blast. Like just so letting them know of like what actually happened in that time and letting them into that so that they can have buy-in to the team.
Yeah. We've actually, in some of our scenarios, we've actually, given the spouse's gifts or, you know, some sort of a recognition of the spouse of a team member, because we know it's every, like, that's hours and hours, not only in the church, but at home that they're working on this stuff. So it's just like, there's such an important partnership there that it's good to enhance.
If there's like a spouse, you know, that goes to my church now, they're going to, I see what you're doing. Now they know our secret.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. When you hand them like a little gift bag, hey, we're just going to, and they're like, wow. Hey, you're just like warming me up, aren't you?
You jerk.
Yeah. So. You're getting ready to have a retreat for your band, aren't you? So, you know, another one is like it. Another key on this to helping promote excellence, I think, is like it. But it really has as much to do with the family or even children of the people on the team, if they have that.
Yeah.
Go to a game, you know, like attend a game or a concert that the kid might be doing. And I would say it this way, though, is like enter into the world. Mm. Because here's the thing, people, and I don't think pastors and ministers think about this that much, but there's a ton of people entering into your world, okay, your ministry world.
Yes.
So as a leader, enter into their world. Because at the end of the day, I don't think that the people that come to your church and serve on your team are there to fulfill your mission.
Yeah.
I think you're there to help fulfill their mission
so good.
In life. Okay.
Yeah.
And so why are they just, you know, they'll spend 12 hours a week in ministry at your team, mm-hmm. but you won't go and enter into their world and help them with their life or, you know, participate in their children's activities or whatever it might be.
That's interesting, man. Cause like, I think that's such a, even the last couple of things we've said, cause when you see this title, this podcast, and it's like talking about excellence, you know, you're thinking of all these like practical musical tips and like how you can plug in lights this way to make it look awesome. And
yeah.
And what we just said was, go to your bassist son's baseball game. And what that means is like you are modeling this care.
Yeah.
So you're actually as a leader doing the best you can with your team.
Yeah.
And so that's going to bleed into like, man, if he cares this much about me to come pray with my family when we're not doing well, to come celebrate my family when our kids win the championship and he's there, and not to just run yourself dry, but like just to show a little bit of care. Mm-hmm. That's excellence.
Yeah.
And they're going to trust you. Like, you know, shout out to the last podcast. And they're going to be more prone to buy this idea of like, they see a leader doing it. Okay. I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Love that. All right. Any other tips?
I think the last one, and we've hit on it, but man, I think it's so important. Resource your team really well. Plan.
Right.
Like you have to think about how someone who has a job, has a family, has all these other responsibilities, is going to give the best they can with what they have.
Yeah.
And that's such a challenge. Just as you know, if you're a full-time worship leader or a part-time or whatever role you have in the church, like, you know how hard it is to do that. Give the best you can with what you have. You know how easy it is to go the other way.
Yeah.
And to just say, that's good enough.
Yeah.
So how much harder is it for that person who doesn't have as much time to focus on it as you, or the care even,
right,
as much as you care about it?
Yeah.
So you better give them every opportunity to improve, every opportunity to practice, every encouragement to do so. And that just takes intentionality. So you got to plan and think through that.
Before we finish up, there's one other thing here that I think gets mixed up on this whole conversation of excellence.
Yeah.
And that is the concept of perfectionism, mm-hmm. or should I say the disease of perfectionism?
Right.
Are you a perfectionist?
In some things, maybe. Like,
really?
I would not say that,
yeah.
But I find myself in certain areas.
Do you know people that are like just perfectionists?
My wife.
Okay. Mine too. They're
love her.
She hates that she's that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this burden of perfectionism.
Yes.
Because nothing's ever right.
Right.
She was here helping us set up this set earlier, and literally, like, that hat got moved 14 times to just the right amount.
Just,
you know,
the right spot.
Because there's a right answer to every single thing. You know, people like me are like, looks pretty good.
You know, I
did my best.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We're good.
But the thing about perfectionism is this, and I don't say, because a lot of people are perfectionists and they don't want to be. Like, this is a problem. The difference between excellence and perfectionism is that excellence is focused on others or it's focused on God. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm going to do the best I can with what I have because God deserves my best, because my team deserves my best, because the congregation deserves my best. Like, I'm serving them by doing the best I can with what I have.
Yeah.
Ultimately, we're serving God, like Colossians chapter 3. Perfectionism is rooted in self. Mm. Okay. And it's one of these things that is like, I am gonna get this just right because people are going to know that I had something to do with it. And I need, you know, and I want them to know, you know, I don't want to be embarrassed because I didn't do it just right. Or I don't want, or I want them to know how good I am at this or something. Now, that is by no means the motivation of your wife or mine. Like from a, like they're amazing people. They're way better than you and me.
Yeah. 100%.
You know what I mean?
Thank the Lord.
It doesn't take much. Let me just say. But she's great.
But she's awesome.
But she's,
yeah. You hear that?
So I'm here. She's there. Yeah. So I'm saying. But I would say that the challenge with perfectionism is that it is it's a self-focused, impossible outcome.
Yeah.
Because you can never be perfect.
That's right.
No such thing.
Yeah.
Only God could do
it. That's it. Yeah. And I think in addition to excellence is not perfection. Like that idea, excellence, well, perfection is never realistic, like what you just said. Excellence is extremely realistic because it's doing the best you can with what you have that day, to the moment.
Yeah.
So it's never this thing that we can't attain.
Yeah.
Perfectionism is like, there's always somebody doing it better.
Right.
There's always somebody who has more money.
It's a comparison to somebody else again.
Right, right. Yeah. So if we know that excellence has nothing to do with others, it's all about how I'm offering myself to the Lord, and that's incredibly realistic.
Yeah, so good, man.
Yeah, bro.
Thanks for the conversation, bro. And thank you guys for joining in again for the Worship Catalyst podcast. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. If this has been helpful, we would really appreciate it if you would do two things. Number one, pass this along to a colleague or friend who might find it helpful. And also, number two, if you'd like to help support the podcast, please subscribe and leave a rating and a review. Next time, we're going to be back in a couple of weeks. Steve and I are going to be discussing 5 essential strategies to align your worship team's mission. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait for this one. See you then.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Worship Catalyst podcast. To stay connected and enjoy more resources, follow us on Instagram and Facebook @Worship Catalyst or head to worshipcatalyst.com. See you next time.